You are about to experience Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. Fortunately, you are about to hear lots of opinions, but rarely any facts. Impersonation might occur, but good luck trying to figure them out. This program is not intended for kids or the easily offended. Listener discretion is advised. You have been warned. You press play. It's too late to stop. Get ready to podcast.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. It is I, DJ Impact. Sin City Steve is with us, and we also got Rob. With us, no Matt Michaels tonight, but it is great to be back with all of you. We kind of took a good 2 weeks hiatus with
Happy Easter.
Yeah, with Easter.
Happy Cheesesteak Day.
And then we went through with the Mania, and we're just glad to kind of be back. You might hear some references of Mania, but our three count normally, which is recorded, which is playback or download available on Tuesdays. You will be able to hear us give our sort of our WrestleMania recap and thoughts. And if you happen to be watching us live tonight, you will kind of get those thoughts as well. But this is our wrestling talk. So we really want to just talk about some of the things that happened during the week, starting Monday all the way up to last night, pretty much, which is Saturday. So let's get right into it with our two sweet. And by the way, if you are watching us live, make sure you put all your comments in the chat box, YouTube, Facebook, or Twitch. Throw your comments in. We'll love to throw them on screen and comment on them as well. All right. Here we go. Too sweet for the week. All right. Sin City Steve, man, what you got?
You know, I would absolutely love to lead things off. You know, I get so much shit for being the AEW guy, and the fact of the matter is, I don't want to steal anyone's thunder, but yes, too sweet for the week. It goes without saying, the end of the reign of the Tribal Chief, Roman Reigns. Cody Rhodes did it. I'm not going to steal thunder anymore from you WWE guys, since we're tribalists. So yeah, there's that. Outside of that, there were some really, really good things that unfortunately got overshadowed by a lot of the bullshit that happened on AEW TV this week. Yeah. And it wasn't so much that there was a lot of bad things. It was only a couple of glaring things, which obviously we'll talk about if only we had a segment for that. but, you know, as far as matches go, obviously, you know you're going to get a banger match out of AEW at least one per week. This week, it just so happened to be Powerhouse Hobbs and Kyle Fletcher against Claudio Castagnoli and Bryan Danielson on Collision. This match was a 26-minute banger. These guys brought it for the entire time. Hell of a match. Wow. Speaking of the BCC, obviously the BCC won. But in addition to them, Jon Moxley. This guy's everywhere. On Friday, capturing the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship at New Japan's Windy City Riot Show in Chicago. He is now a five-time world champion and the only man to have ever won the IWGP Championship, Heavyweight Championship, the AEW World Championship, and the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. So pretty elite stuff there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Welcome, De'Aaron.
Yeah, no doubt. Let me go to you, Rob. What do you have for this week?
Oh my God, SmackDown. Mm-hmm. What does that even mean? Paul Heyman crying as Jimmy Uso is destroyed by Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga, Gorillas of Destiny.
Who?
He went last name first.
Wait. Yeah. I didn't think WWE fans knew how to use Google.
Oh, wow.
Wait. First of all, how are you putting me in? Is just some freaking Matt Michaels.
Someone has to give you shit. Well, Michaels is in here.
Left, yeah, you got a fucking Matt Michaels me? Yeah, hey, well, you know what? I mean, it's not my problem that Tony Khan doesn't know how to run a fucking show. And guess what? You guys are going to be fucking sitting outside of Jacksonville with your freaking luggage in your bag, you know, bags in your hands with no goddamn money left because he snorted it all.
I guess Matt Michaels is on the show. Welcome, Matt.
No shit.
I got another fucking AEW mark over here.
Settle down, Vince. You'll be all right.
All of the old WWE talent that couldn't cut it in the Attitude Era, and now I have to freaking wet my pants over it. How close is that?
Oh man, that's but no. Yeah, but good points though, man. That was pretty big. And listen, I'll be completely honest. You know, I don't follow the career of Tomo Taga. I've seen
the Destiny Bullet Club original. Mm-hmm. Got kicked out of the Bullet Club by Jay White and the Good Brothers on a Impact Wrestling show. They were not yet TNA again.
Right. I remember that's when I was watching Impact. So I do remember that. Yeah. Go ahead.
And you could at any time bring up Hikuleo. You could bring up the other brother. You could bring up Jeff Cobb. You have so many Samoan and Tongan wrestlers that you can bring up to WWE, make this a much bigger faction. And then, ironically enough, as this is going to come full circle, now you have the actual bloodline not in the bloodline anymore. Mm-hmm. So you now have this Samoan civil war. I'm going to call it a Samoan civil war.
Okay.
This captured my attention more than any other show, any other idea, any other promo this week.
Wow. Yes, it seems like it will continue. I mean, maybe people are like, oh, it's the end of the bloodline. Well,
what does this mean for the bloodline? Who cares?
Hey.
It's obvious that it's going to be the third man that's going to align with Solo is going to be Jacob Fatu. So you might as well just get on your little Google machines.
Cells
out there.
Google
Jacob Fatu, and you know, that way you know his entire backstory.
Right now, Hunter is going to discount Samoans to get his staff.
Oh man! All right. Well, good stuff. Let's move over then. I'm sure there's somebody out there who really needed the love. Let's see who that is. By the way, if you're watching us right now live, hey, play along. Is there some wrestler out there that you think just not getting enough respect, not getting enough love out there? They're putting in the work, but they're not, you know, they're not getting that time. Throw it in the comments. We'll love to hear what your thoughts is. Let me go over to you though, Rob. Where's the love for who when it comes to you?
I don't know. I watched on another squash match for Piper Niven and Chelsea Green, who actually have some decent in-ring chemistry. And I don't know. I'd like to see them do more than just be there to put other people over. And the other thing is, and I don't know if he's gone, but what happened to Wheeler Yuta?
Mm.
Where is he? Because if I'm to understand it now, the Blackpool Combat Club are the three members minus Wheeler Yuta. Who is he injured? Okay. So can he?
Yeah, he was injured.
All right, but all of these...
But even still, yeah.
Right. Put him out there. Have him cut some promos. Have him do something. And this is more of a...
And
Rob,
and De'Aaron just said, he will say Miro. He says, however, he does gets injured too much.
Miro's another guy. Miro is like fucking silly putty. He's remember that old claymation guy, Bill, who would just go, oh! Him and Fragile Phil are like, you know... I don't know if their bones are made out of paper mache. I don't know. But the thing is, and I say that with Fragile Phil, is he still found a way to make himself useful. We'll talk about that later. But it shows now that the writing is caught up where you can have a guy injured and still make him part of a storyline, you know?
Yeah.
I'd love to see Wheeler Yuta act as a hype man, just in the way he has Alex Abrahantes go in the corner and just be a hype man.
Yeah. Let me go over then to you.
Oh, he's asking about Angelico and Jack Evans.
Mm-hmm.
Guys.
I'll go right over to Sin City. What's your thoughts?
you know, it was, you actually gave me, you teed up almost a perfect, my perfect person.
Yeah.
Because I was going to ask, where is the love for Penta El Zero Miedo? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's obvious at this point that the company doesn't see anything more than just he's going to be a trios guy or a tag team guy.
Yeah.
You know, Penta wrestled Adam Copeland and had a really solid TNT title match on Dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
Very solid match. Of course, you had to know that they weren't going to take the title off of Copeland.
Sure. Not off the first defense, no.
Right. But, I mean, it's one of those things where you know what you're going to get with Penta. He's going to go out there. He's going to put over whoever the champion is because they've done it on numerous occasions.
Right.
He's going to make the champ look really good, but he's going to ultimately put them over. The guy should be holding a singles title, defending a title in Mexico, in some of the other satellite promotions where he is featured. Build the brand of AEW. They did a good job with that early on, and then it just stopped. Have a title, travel to other promotions.
AAA? Would you give him the AAA?
Oh, I would let him take, you know, a title, a singles title, or and take CMLL. It to AAA or CMLL, either mm-hmm. one. Let him go there and carry that title. Why not? Realistically, sure. You're not doing him, anything better. I want
to
interrupt
one thing. You can go to the Nerd on Fremont, second floor. They have so much wrestling paraphernalia there. They have his entire ringworm outfit, the entire ring gear that he wears. He is about 5'9". But jacked, and they've got full, it's a whole bunch of stuff, but they are big wrestling fans there. If you want to see some of the best ring-worn gear, they've got it all in glass.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have to see. I agree with that, Sin City. I actually watched Dynamite, and I was thinking, man, that sucks that Penta has to be in this match, you know, against Copeland, because he really is talented, you know.
He's great.
And it sucks that he, you know, but whatever. Anyway. And
that's saying something.
No doubt. All right, let's go into what everybody wants to hear, and that's this. Now, I know there couldn't be any WTFs this week now, Sin City. I mean,
perfect. Not at all, man.
Across the board.
Perfect. Perfect across the board. Yeah. Obviously, let's deal with the elephant in the room right now.
Let's do it.
Tony Khan's decision to air the surveillance footage from All In at Wembley. Okay. So here's the thing is
Fragile Phil.
It was certainly a decision. It was certainly a decision. Now, if they chose to air this footage to show Punk as the unquestioned physical aggressor in the confrontation with Jack Perry, then they succeeded in that, because he was the unquestioned physical aggressor in that confrontation. Now, I didn't see anything in there that would perpetuate Tony Khan saying that he feared for his life as a result of this altercation.
Right.
It was a push. And then Jack Perry tried to do a double leg takedown at which point CM Punk got him in a guillotine.
Right.
Okay. It was less than 10 seconds, man.
Right.
And the thing is, it flies in the face of Adam Copeland's promo that he cut just last week, talking about moving on and putting the past behind them. It just completely invalidated it.
Right.
So yeah. I like Jim Jacobs. it couldn't have been done any worse. Now, with that being said, will there be people that could stand to benefit from this footage? I will argue yes in a future segment, so stay tuned for that.
Okay.
Elsewhere, we've asked for Athena to appear on AEW TV for months, and it finally happened this week. I don't know if you guys are aware, but it happened. Oh, yeah, it was on Battle of the Belts, watched by maybe 200,000 people. Maybe. You know,
was this Battle of the Belts 47? How many of them have been?
It was Battle of the Belts 10, but you wouldn't have known it because it was horrible. And not the match was horrible. I'm saying the match placement. If you're going to get over Athena as, you know, this killer of the women's division in Ring of Honor, which she has been. She has been their champion for quite some time now. And
people watch Ring of Honor?
Believe it or not, yes.
But I'm not talking about the people in the truck. I'm talking about outside of the arena.
In all seriousness, Athena's been putting in some great work on Ring of Honor TV. Yeah. And the thing is, I'm not even mentioning her as part of the WTF segment for any of that. No, I'm talking about what happened on Collision, because I have to point this shit out, because if it was done on WWE TV, I would point this shit out.
Okay.
No. So anyway, let's set the stage. Backstage interviewer Lexi Nair is interviewing Athena and Billy Starks. Lexi just so happens to be wearing a jacket that read MIT, like a varsity type of a jacket.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of a storyline that they ran in Ring of Honor like a year ago. Lexi Nair generally has a babyface type of a demeanor. Here, she was applauding the heels and acting as a heel in this interview.
Okay.
What the fuck? Now, I'm all for continuity.
Right.
But if you're going to market something so niche to your already, quite frankly, niche audience,
right,
you're going to have people questioning what the fuck is going on. What did I miss?
Sure.
So, yeah, literally. And also, in the same week that we had a Samoan defend his world title against a Rhodes on Sunday, we also had another Samoan not defend his title, but wrestle a Rhodes on Wednesday. Cody was successful. Dustin wasn't. You know, say what you will about Dustin being in the match, but he did have a good showing in the match. The guy can still go, but the fact is, the reason why it's in this segment is because it felt so shoehorned in, and there was no reason to set up this type of a match other than your counter programming what went on the other brand, which is a recipe for disaster, an absolute recipe for disaster for AEW this week.
Yeah, I mean, Rob, I go over to you, man. It was definitely a trip to see the Samoan Dustin Rhodes match, and you're going, oh my, okay, as if we wouldn't quickly get it. What's your take? What was your WTF?
There we go. Yeah. I'm a little confused. So an eliminator match.
Yes.
Is supposed to be like a qualifier so you could go wrestle for the belt. So why would you wrestle the guy holding the belt for his belt? So it's a match to have another match.
It's a non-title match. And if you win the match, then you get a title.
Right. But in WWE, they actually have other participants in the company, not the guy holding the belt, wrestle for. This is stupid.
Yep.
And then you injure the champion at the beginning of the show, and then have to go back to the match later. And we're not even talking about a major injury. We're talking about if this were any other match, this would have been a spot in a match that he would have been easily able to get up from. And now we have to wait another hour. I was really like, you know why I couldn't remember if I had seen Dynamite or not? I did see it now that I think about it. It was that shitty. I put it out of my mind. Literally. I was like, wait a minute. It's an eliminator match. Okay, so somebody is going to wrestle somebody, and we know it's Dustin, so Dustin's going to wrestle somebody to face it's Samoa Joe versus Dustin for the... What? All right. And all right, you're going to go back to it an hour later? Why would I care at this point? There's no connection between the injury he got, the individual match, why so, it was bad. It was really bad.
It wasn't anticipating seeing the CM Punk footage. And by the way, why did he put a countdown on there to the footage? It was like, are you serious?
But let's talk about the footage. First of all, both of your guys in that video are not with the promotion. So you're not drawing.
Well,
look.
Jack Perry is still contracted to AEW.
I thought he was out. I thought he was out of contract.
No, he's working his new gimmick that he's going to be debuting on AEW TV.
But let's put it like this. He has not been on an AEW screen.
Right.
Our homes for months. Almost a year, right? And
7 months.
And CM Punk is very much gone. So you have, you know, Jack Off Perry and Fragile Phil getting into a scrap. I don't care about it because it didn't matter. It came out of left field. Again, like they said, 8 months later. If they had done this a month down the road, 2 months down the road, but it was so far removed to being relevant to the character that these two other guys are building. And to be perfectly fair to the Young Bucks, Matthew and Nicholas really didn't have anything to do with that. So I didn't care about it. There was no audio, number one. If there was audio to it, it would have been cool. If there was like a closer shot, this was like the fucking footage of a Walmart heist. You know, yeah. Like nobody cares. There was absolutely, it was a non sequitur.
Yeah.
It held nothing related to any of the other storylines going on, except you want to try to get some juice off the back end of what, you know, WrestleMania had. And you're never going to do that. Even with fucking three back-to-back all-ins, you're not going to be bigger than what WrestleMania 40 was. Let's fucking be right. Let's be real with it. WrestleMania 40 was, okay, it was Kill Bill in reverse. Remember how Kill Bill 1 was amazing and Kill Bill 2 kind of sucked? That was WrestleMania 40. Doesn't matter. It's one movie.
You know, it was pretty funny. I'm pretty sure, TK was actually in front of his TV on both nights. He was more excited to watch WrestleMania than
blue balls. See, what the fuck do you do? What do you do?
Because WrestleMania is about to come on. I gotta go get my popcorn. It's about to be a great show.
Here's the thing. 39. I was listening to this and Bully Ray said it best. Okay. He goes, would you have had the moment you did this weekend if Cody won on 39? Would it have meant as much? You would have cheered, but would you have been crying? Would you have been? So now Tony Khan has to match that this summer. Can he? No, he hasn't done any. He hasn't laid any groundwork for that. He's got a bunch of scattered independent matches that lead to nothing. And then you do a video of two guys who used to be with your company scrapping.
You know, quick question, Sin City. Is Tony working on building a big any storyline with anything leading to the big show in the UK this summer?
The big
let's hope we don't get the big show in the UK. Will he be
fighting on his good leg?
Oh God. Realistically, they haven't come out with any kind of storyline stuff yet. I'm assuming that they're going to set that into motion pretty soon. Everyone is assuming that they're going to find a way to put Will Ospreay into the main event of that pay-per-view and close the show with him winning the championship there.
British.
It writes itself, but you know, outside of that, they haven't.
Do we see Saraya come back now? And I'm not even trying to make a joke. Do we see Saraya come back in preparation?
Who knows, bro? Who knows?
Maybe. And, if we're going to show a grainy video of something, we know she's got a library.
Yes, she does.
Stop it. Finish your thoughts.
So I just really quick wanted to mention as far as, I've not defended that footage. I've not defended the airing of the footage. I think that it was absolutely stupid. And quite frankly, I wish that they never would have done it, as I've said several times. It did not accomplish what they wanted to accomplish. And I find it pretty interesting that AEW went through and they copyright struck everyone who attempted to repost the footage on YouTube. They attempted to copyright strike anybody who basically did any kind of a stream where they aired any of the footage or did anything of that nature. So Impact, I know you how you love to splice stuff in. Don't put it on this show because we will lose any and all platforms. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Wow. All right. Well, let us move over into our next little segment here, which is what are we looking out for? All right, Rob, we got to be excited for something. You can't be excited for Mania because that's gone, unless you're excited for a Backlash or something. But maybe another – oh, what is it? Is it Dynasty? Got to be getting excited for that. Well, Rob, what are you getting excited for? Maybe a match coming up in a week or two. Anything you're getting excited for.
All right, first let's get this one out of the way.
Okay.
The great one, JC, the savior of SmackDown Women's Division, Jade Cargill.
Oh, okay.
tag belts on her and Bianca Belair.
Okay.
It's such an obvious pairing. Two black women with washboard abs who can just bend you into a pretzel. Let's just get that over with. I wish that they had just wrestled for the belts and did maybe a triple belt, like, you know, New Day had back in the day. And it was kind of vague as to who it was, you know. There's three guys, but they're tag.
Let me ask you, Rob. So if they go for the titles, they win it. Do they go all the way to Rumble and then they start to create this beef amongst themselves and then be ready for Mania 41? Or is that long?
I like that. I like that because eventually you're going to have to get there. Whether or not you do it as a handshake, it starts off as a handshake and then somebody has sour apples that they lost. But first things first, the Kabuki Warriors are weak sauce. They're good technical wrestlers, but Asuka needs to be on her own. Asuka is like, she's putting over other people, but she needs to be fighting on her own. That's number one. I don't see anything happening for Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley's going to, that belt's going to have dust on it. And she's going to be like, oh, let me bring it out. Because there's nobody fighting her. I would almost put Asuka on Raw. And then have somebody for Rhea Ripley to fight because Asuka's too good in the ring to be wasted that way. She's got Shinsuke Nakamura disease. You know, it's like, oh, you're Japanese and you can't speak well? Guess what? Are you a really good in-ring competitor? Guess what? We've got nothing for you. But more importantly than I said this earlier, the black and bold. Damn it, I got nothing. give me a thought on that. Give me a moment. I want to see where we go with this new bloodline. I'm telling you, and I called it earlier, Bloodline Civil War is coming because you're going to have a very sorrowful Jimmy, tail between his legs, go over to Raw. The two of them are going to reform. Maybe they'll have a match first to decide, hey, we got to have a fight, one more fight to get this out of our system. And then have the two of them go and invade SmackDown. So what I want to see is for
I just don't want that to happen too quickly.
No.
Because Jay right now is on fire, and I mean we can see that he can run a singles on his own now, which is great. And there's a lot that you can do that. Look like since
we're talking Survivor Series,
but.
We're talking Survivor Series because you always have the brands fight each other on Survivor Series. So you either do that where you have Survivor Series be a Bloodline Civil War. I want this to be like NWO level. I want
that's,
it to be.
That's what will happen.
You need to. It's too good. What I'm wondering, though, is one side gets Paul Heyman. What does the other side get? Okay. That's what I'm thinking is which of the two sides is Paul Heyman go face now? Who does he represent? That's what I want to see. And where does Roman Reigns fall? Because they could turn on Roman Reigns for losing. I don't think so, but
okay.
Rikishi. Yeah. Oh,
all right. That, give me, Let me jump over to Sis City. Is there anything you look? What are you looking out for, man?
Yeah, so I'm looking out for a lot, but I mean, realistically, just to pile on to what you mentioned there, as far as you know, Bloodline Wolfpack versus Bloodline Hollywood.
Hold on, wait a minute. That's what you call Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill.
What do you call them?
Monthly Bloodline.
Oh Jesus. Where's my mute button?
Yeah, no shit. Yeah, no shit. That should have been used on him months ago. Okay. You're just now thinking of that.
I know.
Yeah, no shit. Anyway.
Yeah.
Realistically, I think that you could do something to where, you know, you mentioned that Jimmy and Jay do align once more. I think that, you know, it could be one of those things where they could essentially use the comments that, you know, power corrupts or something of that nature. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we saw what happened when Roman became the tribal chief. He got corrupted and he went down a particular path. Solo, now that he is the new tribal chief, he is going down a, you know, a destructive path as well.
But his mic skills are good so far.
Yeah, I'm yes. That's a very, very fortunate thing for them. I think that there are a lot of directions that they can go with this. And I'm completely all for it now that your main world championship is not wrapped up in this storyline as well. That mm-hmm. storyline is good, and it doesn't need the gravitas of the world championship to make it work. And I think that we're going to see that as things roll out. There are a lot of layers behind this. And clearly, you've got Paul Heyman writing this entire thing. And he is the closest thing to a creative genius that we will see in our lifetime.
And Cincinnati, just to break on that, Travis wrote here, the Bloodline and Heyman dates back to Heyman managing Rikishi
in the 80s. Absolutely.
And these Wild Kids, a.k.a. the current Bloodline, are due to Rikishi and his brother having kids. Yeah, we're right on point. Yeah.
Yeah. So they peel back all those layers. And again, now that you're not holding the main championship hostage in the same storyline, now I'm more excited about it personally. Let's kind of pivot. Sure. So Dynasty is next weekend. The card's fucking stacked. We've talked about it numerous occasions.
Swerve. Also, I'm sorry.
Swerve. Hey, honestly, you put the title on him there or at Double or Nothing in Vegas.
Oh,
I'm down. One of the two.
Vegas, please. Vegas.
Yep. And then also next weekend, speaking of Vegas, TNA Rebellion is here in Las Vegas as well. TNA has been putting out some great stuff, especially their pay-per-views. And unfortunately, it just gets lost in the shuffle of everything that's going on. So obviously, I personally will be at the show. I don't know if any of you guys are going to be hitting that up as well, but it should awesome. Be an awesome, awesome event. You know, I am looking out for what is going to be next for Jack Perry. He wrestled at the New Japan Windy City Riot show. He got a massive reaction from the crowd. His scapegoat shirt has sold out on Pro Wrestling Tees, which, like it or not, is the second largest pro wrestling merchandise website, second only to WWE Shop, of course. But when the second biggest site is sold out of your merch, that's a good sign that there is some anticipation for that character. And he's leaning into the CM Punk drama. He wore a black leather jacket with the words Cry Me a River written on the back. He did the GTS taunt before trying the move against Shota Umino, who reversed it and ended up picking up the win as, you know, obviously, the heel gets foiled. Does Jack Perry show up at Dynasty and factor into the finish of the now World Tag Team ladder match? The FTR and Young Bucks match has been changed to being a ladder match. So will Jack Perry show up and be involved in that match? I think
will Marco Stunt show up and be involved in that match?
Oh, Jesus. No, so he's out in the crowd where he belongs.
All right.
So nevertheless, it's looking to be a pretty good pay-per-view that's coming up for the weekend. So
yeah, it's going to be a great weekend of wrestling next weekend.
Okay, cool. All right, let's get into our final best in show. Let's see what you guys think. All right, I'll go to you first, Sin City. From Raw all the way down to Collision, what was rated your best in show this week?
You're gonna make me not factor in night two. It's still this week, damn it.
All right, fine. Go on and throw Mania in.
All right.
Let's do it.
So I don't need to talk about it because everybody watched it. Look at the numbers from Peacock.
That's right. Realistically,
I know that everybody's thinking I'm going to talk about AEW programming being the best thing on here. No, we mentioned what Dynamite was. Collision was good for matches. But yeah, WrestleMania night two specifically, and stay tuned to hear about my thoughts on night one. I'm only stipulating night two.
How cold was it on night one?
Impact.
We'll talk about it, but it was. First off, I didn't go to night one. Okay, you don't know the story yet, Rob. But Sin City knows the story. I only do one night, and that's the last night. That's it. No two nights for me.
So in other words, you're sitting in the hotel room eating cheesesteaks.
Oh man. All right.
I watched both nights. I'm asking him how cold it was because that's all they kept saying.
Yeah.
It feels like 58 degrees. No,
it was like 45 out there, man.
It was, although I wasn't out there, you know, I was in Philly, so it was cold. That entire day. So you can only imagine what the night and even night two. Listen, we're talking about it. This could be a cliffhanger to get people to log back on to the next podcast we do. But Rob, what was yours? What would you say was your?
I don't want to count WrestleMania in that because that's an obvious giveaway. We're going to talk about the, if we're adding WrestleMania, WrestleMania was the best. Fine. Fuck that. SmackDown out of the regular shows for the week. SmackDown ran away with it because they're layer and layer and layer of storylines. They're building teams with Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair. Legado del Fantasma versus LWO. Fucking great storylines. I like that they're building on that with who fucked over, I just blanked out on his name. The other masked wrestler that tag teamed with Rey Mysterio, Dragon Lee. So now we know that there's going to be somebody within LWO who screwed over Dragon Lee. There's layers of storylines. And now we're going to have Cody there on the regular. So you've got so many great things going on. But that promo, that spot they did with Tama Tonga coming in and then Paul Heyman leaving the doctor's office and he's just crying. Is Jimmy okay? No, he's not. Oh my God. This is why they call it soap opera for men, but fuck, you need a solid actor. And wherever Paul Heyman goes, a good story will follow. And then everything else around it has to be good because you don't want people tuning out and just trying to track. Well, all right, when's the Bloodline story going to be? And then I'll just turn off the rest. No, the whole night was good. And I don't need 3 hours to sift through of.
Yeah.
Oh, it's DIY. They're playing with themselves in the corner. Great. Lovely. I don't give a shit.
Oh, man. All right. Well, good stuff, man. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us in our wrestling talk. We do encourage you as we end this podcast. We're going to start the next podcast right up. Where we're going to talk about both nights of WrestleMania, my experience and all that. And, I will tell you, Vegas this weekend, we're going to have TNA Rebellion. It's going to be at the Palms Hotel and Casino. It's going to be should be Saturday, and it's 8 p.m. start time. So if you happen to be in the Vegas area, come out. We'll all be there. We're going to come watch Joe. We don't talk a lot about TNA, but that doesn't mean that, we don't follow and see what's happening on the show. You know, unfortunately, because they're not on one of the networks that we can easily just turn to, it's a lot difficult to you know, just to record and to watch and all. And
then I mean, it's not like you can just Google a place to watch free wrestling.
Yeah, well, of course. But nevertheless, we we'll be there. And if you happen to be in town, we would love to see you and come through. So, again, that is TNA in Vegas for the Rebellion.
And we're all the same height, too. Mind screw. Didn't know that when I met these guys. We would all be the same height.
Right. Yeah. So with that, y'all take care. Hopefully we see you in just a second. If you're just downloading the podcast, thank you for enjoying this Monday podcast. Make sure you download Tuesday. It's going to be just as exciting. All right. Until then, take out. Peace out. And happy wrestling to you all.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.